3 years after the discovery of the neutral currents, a crisis occurred. There was no longer any doubt about the existence of the neutral currents, but experiments in 1976 indicated that these forces did not have some of the properties that the theory predicted. The anomaly emerged in experiments at both Seattle and Oxford on the propagation of polarized light passing through bismuth vapor. It had been known since the work of Jean-Baptiste Biot in 1815 that polarized light passing through solutions of certain sugars experiences a rotation of its polarization to the right or left. For instance, the polarization of light rotates to the right when passing through solutions of the common sugar D-glucose, and to the left when passing through solutions of L-glucose. This is because a molecule of D-glucose is not the same as its mirror image, a molecule of L-glucose, just as a left-handed glove is different from a right-handed glove, in contrast to a hat or a tie, which looks the same whether looked at directly or in a mirror. One would not normally expect this sort of rotation for polarized light passing through a gas of single atoms like those of bismuth. But the electroweak theory predicted an asymmetry between left and right in the weak nuclear force, between electrons and atomic nuclei, caused by the exchange of Z particles, which would give such atoms a kind of handedness, like a glove or a sugar molecule. This effect was expected to be particularly large in bismuth because of a peculiarity in its atomic energy levels. Calculations showed that the asymmetry between left and right in the bismuth atom would cause the polarization of the light passing through bismuth vapor to rotate slowly to the left. To their surprise, the experimentalists at Oxford and Seattle could find no such rotation, and they reported that, if there were any such rotation, it would have to be much slower than had been predicted. This was really quite a bombshell. These experiments seemed to show that the particular theory that Salam and I had each worked out in 1967 to 1968 could not possibly be correct in its details. But I was not prepared to abandon the general ideas of the electroweak theory. Ever since de Hooft's 1971 paper, I had been quite convinced of the correctness of the outlines of this theory, but I regarded the particular version of this theory that Salam and I had constructed as only one specially simple possibility. For instance, there might be other members of the family formed by the photon and the W and Z particles, or other particles related to the electron and neutrino. Pierre Duhem and W. van Keene pointed out long ago that a scientific theory can never be absolutely ruled out